Well, you are so welcome. I hope that you enjoy this telecommunication sanctuary. None other, nowhere you're going to find a telecommunication sanctuary like this. Now, maybe someplace else. But anyway, let me get out the way because we got to hear the word of God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just love you. We adore you. We extol you. We exalt you. We lift your name on high. We love you so much. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning with a mind to serve you. We're glad to serve you, Lord. We want to serve you. We thank you for choosing us to serve you. Now, Father God, we want you to know that we appreciate you and we don't take you for granted, Lord. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to get out of the way, and I want you to continue to have your way, Father God. Speak through the man of God. Give us a word, Lord God, that it will fall on good ground in the name of Jesus, that it'll be hid in our hearts, Father, that we won't sin against you. Bless the host, oh God. Continue to have your way today, and we won't fail to praise you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise. We love you so much, and we need you, Lord. Bless, bless, bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Host, are you there?
Good morning, Minister Wanda. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear, my sister. You on? Take it away. Love you.
Praise God. Love you, too. Good morning. Good morning, Minister Wanda. I tell you, you definitely started us all off this morning with the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We so appreciate and love you this morning. Good morning, TMC family. This is Brenda Terrell. I reside here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast in Ocean Springs, and I, along with Minister Wanda, say welcome, 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 especially to our first-time guests. We're so excited and delighted to have each and every one of you join us this morning. Now, let me give you a little briefing about this call. We're here every Monday through Friday. Yes, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5 a.m. Pacific time, and we call it our telecommunication sanctuary. We are so grateful to God that two anointed and appointed women of God said yes, and they are none other than our very own Dr. P.K. Roberts-Patton and our Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon. We love and appreciate them because they have continued this call, and we are so excited because this is our seventh year that we're rolling into. This month, October 2010, is when they started this call, and they said yes and continued it up until this season, and we are expecting many more years. And we're thankful that this call is established on the scripture, Psalms 88:13, where it says, "But to you I have cried, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you." And we also have a mission statement. It is to enrich, enhance, and empower believers as they begin their day. So, of course, we want you to invite your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, and just tell them this is a great, great way to start their day here on the Master's Call. We also encourage you to go to our website. It is www.themasterscall.net. Again, www.themasterscall.net. All the messages have been archived there on the site, as well as the bios of our speakers. Believe it or not, we have a buffet of messages where you can always get a word from the Lord. Now, this year, in 2017, this is our theme. In 2017, by faith, God is manifesting our goals and dreams, and we are seeing God show himself mighty. So I'm so excited that we are here serving, and then you may be a person that want to serve along with us. You might want to greet, as Minister Wanda did so graciously. I'm telling you, with the joy of the Lord in our heart. And then you may want to host, which is what I'm doing. And then you may even have a word from the Lord that you want to share. We definitely want to hear it. Well, send that information to info@themasterscall.net. That's I-N-F-O @themasterscall.net. And Dr. Vanessa, yours truly, will contact you. Now, many of us came together from a company, a health and wellness company, the best on this side of heaven, I say, Artists International, and we're under the umbrella of Artist Life. We're so thankful to God that we have the wonderful products that are helping people with their health. If you don't know, never heard about it, get with the person that invited you. And then still again, today is Awareness Wednesday, where they're going to have a special feature on some specific illness, and then you can hear about the buffet of products that we have that are so wonderful. That number is 712-770-4005. Again, 712-770-4005. The PIN is 294-617 pound. Now, I'm going to get out of the way because we have a wonderful woman of God that's going to introduce our speaker. And that is one of our co-founders, and that's Dr. P.K. Roberts-Patton. She is a wonderful woman of God. We call her Miss Super Fantastic. She resides in Silver Creek, Mississippi. I'm turning it over to this woman of God. Are you there, Dr. P.K. Roberts-Patton?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Good morning, Mississippi Queen. So good to have you on the call this morning, and thank you for all that you do as our prayer general. Loving up on you, Minister Wanda, up in that windy city of Chicago. Love you, my dear. God bless you. Thank you for ushering us in. And I thank God this morning. I praise him. I magnify him for all that he is doing in my life. Good morning, TMC family. It is celebration time. As we enter into our seventh year of this great call, God said on Monday, the beginning of the month, that he's going to do some new things for us. We are taking on a new look. He said, old houses are painted, you know, new cars, old cars are renovated, and we are going to do a few things new over here on the call as well. And one of the things, as we are ushering in our seventh year, is this entire month we are going to be expecting God to give us something new, fresh, and exciting. And so today I want to introduce to some, I want to really present to all of you and tell you how to get yourself introduced to him for real is through our website. All of our speakers' introductions are on the website. We are going to begin presenting our speakers and not the long introductions so that they can have more time to really give us the word of God. So today, as the young man who is coming to you is one whom God has knitted in my heart through the Artist International program. I thank God that we met, and when we met immediately, God, we knew that we were to be together. And he has traveled and came to see me in different locations, ministered with me, for me, and through me, and I thank God for him. He is a magnificent man of God who will absolutely introduce himself through his word this morning. And I'm moving out of the way right now as I present to you. Go to the website. You're going to get that information at the end of the call. Read all about him because he is worthy of you getting to know. My dear son and my dear man of God, are you there? Minister, elder, pastor, author, Charles Brown.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I am so excited you are here. Take it away and do what God gives you to do.
Amen. Thank you so very much. Affectionately called Dr. PK, my mom. Love her with all my heart. And I'm grateful. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart, that I am excited. I'm excited and extremely full of joy to be back on the call this morning to celebrate what God has done, what he's doing, what he's going to continue to do through this call. Pastor Dr. Vanessa, I love you so very much. And Mama Brenda and everybody, I won't start calling names, but I appreciate and love each and every one of you. I do miss the times that we were able to share on a consistent basis, but you know how it is when you keep asking God to do something for you and he starts opening up doors, and that kind of limits your time, but you're always in my prayers. You're always on my mind. You're always in my heart. I appreciate what this call has done for me, for my ministry, and I just love you all so very much. And again, I want to say hats off to the founders, Dr. PK, Dr. Vanessa, and all of you who've been faithfully serving. Your labor is not in vain. God is going to continue to do great and mighty things for you as you continue to obey him. All right, I want to get right into what God has for us on today. I'm excited to share this word, and I pray that it touches you and that it blesses you like it has blessed my life. I want to go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. John 5, verse 1. I'm going to go down through verse 9. New Living Translation reads as follows. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays, holy days. Inside the city near the Sheep Gate was the Pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he or she had. Verse 5, one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him, knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone always gets there ahead of me." Verse 8, Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat and walk." And instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. This miracle happened on the Sabbath. Today, I want to minister from this subject. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Do not miss your moment. I can't begin to tell you how many times we've missed out on what God has provided for us. I mean, opportunity after opportunity to move ahead, and for whatever reason, when the moment comes, we miss the moment. We allow the opportunity to pass us by. Why pray for God to do something only to watch it come to us and leave without us seizing the day? God's people have to learn how to seize the day. Carpe diem. You got to learn how to seize the moment. When God moves, you have to move with him in that moment. As the children of Israel walked through the wilderness and followed Moses, they also followed the cloud, and they followed the pillar of fire. When it sat, they sat. When it moved, they moved, and that's how we have to be in our lives. When God is moving, when God is doing something, we have to seize those opportunities so that we don't miss our moments. I won't be before you long at all, but I want to share with you these four principles that I believe is going to help you on today. In verse 3, John chapter 5, it says, crowds of sick people who were blind, lame, paralyzed, withered, were laying on the porches. Here's the first thing I want to leave with you. Never take residence in a sick place. Never take residence in a sick place. The Bible said multitudes, crowds of sick people were present in Bethesda. I don't know why it is, but sick people almost always hang with other sick people. And I'm aware, you know, the scripture, it's actually referring to actual physical infirmities, but I want you to look deeper into this verse. These folk were sick, and they got comfortable being in a place full of sick folk. Hear me well. If your environment is making you settle for less, then you're in a sick place. If your environment is making you so frustrated that you can't move, you feel smothered, you feel like you're smothering to death or choking, your vision is choking and dying before your very eyes, it may be because you're in a sick place. I don't know about you, but when I'm around even one sick person, I start feeling some kind of way. You know, I'm not necessarily a germaphobe, but at the same time, I don't like just being around folk who are always sneezing and all, because I don't want to catch what they have, because that's what usually happens. But this is what I really want you to understand. Depressed people hang around depressed people. Oh, they don't want to be around those who are joyful. They would much rather be with individuals who are in the same condition that they're in. So when you come around them all bubbly and happy and joyful, they have an attitude with you. Why? Because for the most part, hypochondriacs come to Bethesda acting like they want to be healed, when all they truly want is to be around other sick people all the time. They want to be around other folk who complain. They want to be around other people who are always talking about how, you know, things are not going to get better and how bad their situations are. And they, instead of testifying about God's goodness, they're complaining about the reality of their lives. Sick people always want to be around sick people. But don't miss your moment hanging around other people who specialize in missing moments. I'm talking about those sick procrastinators and the chronic complainers and lazy people and no vision having, no faith having doubters. If you find yourself around sick people, listen well. Don't make that place your permanent home. I discovered that even though doctors are around sick people all the time and they have to report to work in the place, the building designed for sick people to be, doctors treat sick people and they go back to their house. Don't take residence in a sick place. Let's move along. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw this man, knew that he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? Here's number 2. And this is something very simple but so powerful. God never forces his miracles on us. God never forces his miracles on us. Again, crowds of people are present. Yet, I find it interesting that out of all the people there, Jesus took the time to talk to this one man. It's only documented that Jesus spoke to this one man. Everybody's there waiting for healing. They're waiting for the complete healing that they've been praying for. But Jesus only inquired of one individual. Me being the curious guy I am, I asked God, why did Jesus only talk to this dude? What was it about him that made you choose him from among the crowd? And God answered me. Now, you know, this is a side note. I know this goes against what a lot of people believe. You know, a lot of folk believe that you shouldn't question God, but the Bible says that if you lack wisdom, any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all of us liberally. So I ask questions. When I'm stumped on a scripture or a story or something comes to me, I ask our Father, and God's response to me was this. He said, I spoke with him because of all the people at church that day who were praying, of all the folk who were at church that day crying out and who were present and they were shouting and dancing and enjoying the word. This man was the only one who was ready to seize the moment. He was in a place in his life where at the very least he would be ready to obey whatever I said. And I know, I understand how that is. Let me give a personal testimony. I've always been a very small guy, you know, tall. I'm about 6'3" and a half. Not skinny, but, you know, not skinny, but not bulky either. I was always active, and because I was always active and working out, I was always able to eat what I want, right? I could drink whatever I wanted, and it didn't affect my weight in any way. But then I suffered this major back injury in my mid-30s, about 35, 36. I had this major back injury playing basketball, and I had to stop working out. But my eating habits never changed. I kept eating the same thing and drinking the Cokes and all of those sodas and things that were unhealthy. I kept eating and drinking those things. And, of course, the pounds started piling on. I went from weighing 175 pounds when I got married to 330 pounds at the age of 36. I didn't notice it until one day I saw this unflattering picture of myself, and it was then and only then that I was open to change. Here's where I'm going with this. There were those who pointed out my weight gain to me while it was happening, but I wouldn't hear it. I wasn't trying to hear them say, hey man, look, if you need to start drinking more water and you need to stop going to Burger King every day, getting that number one cut in half with a Coke king size. Listen, stop supersizing everything. They would try to give me those little tips from every now and then, but I wasn't about to commit to doing it, so I wasn't even receptive to hearing them at that moment. And I discovered something, that no matter how bad friends and families wanted change for me, they couldn't force change on me. I had to want it for myself. And the change began with the question, did I want to suffer like other family members suffered? Did I want to die of heart disease and diabetes and deal with high blood pressure and have to get pricked and have to take pills the rest of my life? It made me come face to face with myself. See, when you ask the right question, it makes you look at yourself in the mirror. And that's why Jesus asks, why are you here? You come here day after day, week after week, year after year. You're on call after call. You go from church to church. You every revival in the city, that's where you are. You go from conference to conference and leave in the same condition. Jesus is like, hey, let's stop playing around with this. What do you want? Do you want to be made whole or not? Do you want to get better or not? Do you want to get well or not? Because I'm not going to force this on you. You have to want it for yourself. And not bragging, but I praise God that I was able over the last year and a half to lose over 100 pounds and gain some resemblance of who I really am, right? But it happened because I wanted it to happen. It wasn't going to just happen for me. I had to want it for myself. In verse 7, and I hope this word is blessing you. The Bible says that I can't, sir. The sick man was answering Jesus. I can't, sir, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. Here's number 3. I want to ask you a question. Who are you waiting for, them or him? Who are you waiting for, them or him? There's a difference in waiting on God and waiting on folk. Waiting on them does nothing for you. They can pick you up, but you'll still be in the same position. They can pick you off your mat, but you still won't be able to walk. This man almost missed his moment waiting for somebody else to help him. Don't wait on other people. Listen, when God wants to do it for you now. Let me say that again. Don't wait on other people when God wants to perform his miracle for you now. Stop waiting on other people when God wants to give you a breakthrough now. Stop waiting on other people when God wants to deliver you right now. Stop waiting on other people when God wants to bring you to the next level right now. I know I can't even hear you talk back to me, but I want you, if you are in a position to do so, I want you to touch yourself and say, my time is now. Come on, even if you're at work, whisper it to yourself. My time is now. Say it again. Say it one more time. My time is now. We've been deceived, y'all. Listen, we've been deceived, not purposely, but we've been deceived nonetheless. We've been told something. You ever been told something so long that you start believing it? That's what kind of happened with the people of God. We've been told this thing for so long that we started believing it, right? This is what we've been told. We've been told it in messages and songs and everything else. That we're next in line, right? That we're next in line for a breakthrough. We're next in line for a miracle. And I know it's to encourage us to keep going, but that's the problem. This guy had been next in line season after season, yet he couldn't get better. For 38 years, he was next in line. And Jesus said it this way throughout the Gospels. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So if your faith is for being next, and carry on. But I believe that there's somebody on this line who is ready to declare that my time is now. I'm not telling you can't have your moment. I'm just letting you know that I'm having mine. I'm not trying to tell you that I'm not hating on you. I'm not trying to sabotage anybody else or keep them from having their moment. I'm just letting you know that my time is now. Jesus was there in front of this man, yet he was talking about having until the next time that the angel came down to trouble the water. Stop feeling like you have to be next in line when God is in your face. Stop feeling like you have to be in line when God is right there in your presence. Stop feeling like you have to be in line when God is right here asking you if you want this blessing. Who are you waiting on? You still waiting on a man? Okay, you still waiting on a handout? You still waiting on permission? Are you still waiting on somebody to encourage you? Oh, this about to mess with somebody. Are you still waiting for them to apologize or say they're sorry? If you don't want to miss your moment, stop waiting on them and learn to wait on him. See, when you wait on God, something happens. He takes the strength that you lost and not only gives it back to you, but he gives it back to you in this most potent state. It says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. To renew means to make new again. It ain't the same as it was when you bought it in the shop. It's new. So the people of God, get ready for new strength. Get ready to dream again and have vision again and get your moment. Then God does something that makes no sense absolutely at all. He says to fly, you're going to mount with wings of an eagle, run and not get weary, walk and not faint. He says, I'm going to help you fly, run, then walk. I'm trying to impress upon everybody on this line that it's your time now. It's your moment now. It's your opportunity now. You can't let it pass you by. See, God is a God of miracles. And listen, the natural order of learning to walk is very clear. No shortcut. The process has been set. In order to walk, you must first crawl, then walk, then run, then take off. But because God doesn't operate according to our understanding of how things are supposed to go, he gives you a choice. You can either walk first or you can soar first. People have caused us to believe that we have to crawl before we walk. God says, I'll have you fly, then come back and learn the process. Why rent when you can buy? Why work for someone else when you can be your own boss? Why be this when I can cause you to be that? Finally, verses 8 and 9, Jesus told the man, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Here's number four, my final point as I get ready to close this message out this morning. Don't miss your moment worrying about what didn't work before. Don't miss your moment worrying about what didn't work before. This man could have missed his moment. Look, man, there were a bunch of close encounters and close calls that could have messed up his entire life and changed the entire narrative. The first close call was answering the question wrong, right? Jesus asked, do you want to be made whole? And he started, led to the second close call when he ignored the question to point out to Jesus why he was still in the same position year after year. And the third close call was not having enough faith to do what he never did before. He had been lame for 38 years. He couldn't walk for 38 years. He had been paralyzed for 38 years. He was willing to keep waiting on someone in that area, right? This place full of sick people. He was willing to wait on them to help him. How were they going to help him being in the same position as they were in? See, Jesus was basically saying, if you want to walk, you want to do something. You want to stand up, right? And you want to pick up your mat. You're going to have to confront whatever has made you settle. The mat makes us settle. It's still alive but can't go anywhere. Still alive but frustrated. Still alive but stuck. Still alive but hurt. Still alive but bitter. Yeah, you're functioning somewhat, but you're barren. You're not getting the most out of life. God says, don't miss your moment by holding on to this mat. Don't miss your moment by holding on to the past. Don't miss your moment by holding on to this pain. Don't miss your moment by holding on to the disappointment and the unforgiveness. Oh, no, because if you miss this moment, you're going to miss your time. And timing is everything. And I told you a second ago that your time is now. Don't miss it. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss this season. It's too important. We need you not to miss your look, I need y'all to be so blessed until now you can start sowing into my ministry and sowing into other ministries. Don't miss the moment because it's going to affect the entire world. And I want to encourage you to keep doing what God told you to do. Don't give up. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season, you'll reap if you don't miss your moment by fainting. Glory to God. I want to turn the call back over to the moderator. I love you all so very much, and I appreciate this time. Happy anniversary to the morning call. I love you all. Pastor Vanessa, I love you so very much. Mama, I love you so very much. People of God, we love you. Y'all pray for us. God bless.
Let the church say amen, amen, and amen again. Thank you so much, Pastor Chuck Brown, for that powerful and profound word. Thank you very much, man of God. I will be calling you back momentarily to give us our benediction for this day. But let us go to God in prayer. Father, we just bless you. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We thank you, God, that it is our time now. And we thank you for this man of God who came on the line and blessed our socks off, Father God. We thank you, God, that he has every single thing that he needs, that his ministry is blessed and that they walk in overflow. Father God, we thank you that his household is blessed and they are in overflow. And Father, I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice because we are blessed and we walk in overflow. And so we thank you that all of our needs are supplied according to your riches and glory, oh God. We thank you that you have everything worked out for our good, because we love you, God, and we are called according to your purpose, Father. And we just thank you for being God Almighty. We thank you for this, the Master's call, and we thank you for this month of celebration. And these things I decree and I declare in the matchless, mighty, magnificent, and marvelous name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I pray right now, amen, amen, and amen. So we would like to thank each and every single one of you for celebrating with us here on the Master's Call. To listen to the replay of this call, which I know you want to do, is 712-432-1085, the access code 957-677-pound. You can also go online to the website www.themasterscall.net, www.themasterscall.net. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to Minister Wanda for seating us and greeting us. Thank you to each of you who have dialed in. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Chuck Brown. And I'm going to ask right now that you would come back to the line and give us our benediction for this celebration day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, sis. God, we're so grateful for the opportunities that you've given to us. We're grateful, oh God, that you will help us to redeem the time and you will cause us to see moments so that we can seize those moments. I thank you for every person on this call this morning and for the founders and those who serve in this wonderful ministry. I ask that you will continue to bless their lives. God, honor them. Please bless them and cause them to reap the harvest, oh God, for the seeds that they've sown all throughout these years, day after day without fail, being on when the call is full and being on when the call is scarce. God, they've been faithful over a few things. I ask that you make them rulers over many. Bless their ministries. Bless their families. Bless their careers. Bless their pockets. Bless their health, oh God. Do something great in their lives. Let this be the best day that we've ever experienced. Let this be the wonderful week of miracles and favor, breakthrough, and deliverance. We call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless each and every one of you.